The sun has set, the darkness deepens, and the world awaits midnight. Good evening. Once again, this is your genial host, Graves. Nice to have you back again. I've spent the week redecorating my humble lodgings. The people who lived here before me had such terrible taste. Bright colors, flowers, children. All right for some, but certainly not me. So I spruced it up a bit. I put in some coffins and gravestones to give it that died-in look. And now it feels so much better. The colors, black on black, furniture early mortuary. And it's so nice to hear the patter of little feet once again. I wonder what they're attached to. Yes, now it's the perfect place for cozy little get-togethers, like stabbings and stranglings. But enough interior design hints. It's time to get to our story. Tonight, we meet a fabulous new character, the immortal Private Eye, Poco Vamp. Poco is going to tell us the classic story of his search for the Lost Chord. But if you think you've heard this one before, stick around. This is a tale unlike any you've ever known.
My name is Poco Vamp. I'm a private detective. Like any private detective, I'm tough if I have to be, and sometimes I do. But then, this is a tough town. Not that it's any tougher than some other towns, it ain't. It's tougher than some, not as tough as others. Sometimes it's tough, sometimes it ain't so tough. But when it is tough, you gotta be ready for it. And I am. I'm a private detective. It's a tough life. The case I'm going to tell you about now is a tough one. I call it the Case of the Lost Chord. I'm going to start from the beginning. I think it's probably the best thing to do to start from the beginning. I mean, if you start from the middle, there's a whole lot you've missed. And sometimes you can't figure out what's happening until it's all over. If you start from the end, the same problem, only worse. Sometimes you never figure out what's going on. Then again, if you start before the beginning, you get a whole lot of stuff that doesn't make any difference anyway. So I'm going to start at the beginning, like I said. That's the way I figure it, and that's the way it's going to be. Me and my secretary, Gloria, was at a concert of the world-famous Russian orchestra, the Petrograd Pops, that was making a goodwill tour of the United States. Things were going pretty good up until the last number. Then it happened.
Gee, Poco, this is the nicest concert I was ever at.
Sure, kid.
The woodwind balance was a little dark, but that's the way they like it west of the Urals.
You say something?
Nah.
You're a good kid, Gloria.
Thanks.
I don't know, kid. There seemed to be some problem with the eighth da.
What a shame.
I didn't want to alarm Gloria just then, but I could see the problem was going to be perspicacious. Even then, I could feel the icy fingers of trepidation doing a tango with my nerve endings. Fortunately, the conductor came up with a fairly convincing curtain speech.
Ladies and gentlemen, I seem to have lost the next 3 pages of my score, so I am unable to conduct the remainder of this piece. Hoping against hope, however, that you will excuse this miniature oversight, the Petrograd Pops will close the evening with our own rendition of that famous old Russian folk song, Varslaya Nostrodna Gavstranskaya Podgorny Yohivho. Thank you, please.
Gee, Poco, don't you think that's strange?
Don't I think what strange?
Don't you think it's strange that a big-time conductor like that Vladimir Ivanovich should lose his music like that?
To tell you the truth, kid, the thought hadn't even crossed my mind.
Oh.
I lied. The thought had crossed my mind. Plenty. There were deep ruts where the wheels of my thought processes were proceeding circuitously through the circuitry of my inner brain. But there wasn't nothing I could do about it. Little did I know how quick the situation was going to change. When Glory and I finished the concert, we stopped by the office to collect any mail that might have accrued.
Gee, Poco, I thought we could stop off at my place for a couple of drinks. How come you gotta check your mail at 10:30 at night?
It's in the plot, sweetheart. You never know when something's gonna happen to add a little mystery to the story.
Look, Poco, here's a package for you.
Who's it from?
It doesn't say. There's no return address.
See, kid, mystery. Open it up. What is it, Gloria?
It's a rattlesnake.
A rattlesnake? That's impossible. I don't know anybody who knows how to wrap a rattlesnake.
See for yourself.
Well, I'll be.
What are we going to do?
Stand back, kid. I'm going to have to shoot it.
Ugh.
Yeah? Yeah, my name is Poco Vamp. I'm a private detective. Like all private detectives, I'm tough if I have to be, and sometimes I do. But then, this is a tough town. What can I do for you?
Is this Poco Vamp?
Yeah, this is Poco Vamp.
Have you found the package?
You sent the package?
Yes.
You little rat, how come?
I only meant it as a warning, Mr. Vamp.
Warning about what?
You know what I'm talking about, Mr. Vamp.
What are you talking about?
You know what I'm talking about, Mr. Vamp.
What's he talking about?
I don't know what he's talking about.
You know what I'm talking about, Mr. Vamp.
I didn't know what he was talking about. Maybe he was crazy, but I couldn't take that chance. I tried to draw him out. What did you say your name was, Mr.?
I didn't say.
That's funny. I could have sworn.
Let that be a warning to you, Mr. Vamp. Goodbye.
What was that all about?
It was a warning.
About what?
I don't know. He wouldn't tell me.
What kind of a warning is that if he wouldn't even tell you what you're supposed to be warned about?
Yeah, I see what you mean. I saw what she meant. I mean, it wasn't so hard to see. There it was, like an iceberg between my eyes in the Sahara Desert. I was lost. My nimble mind leaped back and forth over its cogitative candlestick, but there was nothing. I was like a mental spider caught up in a web of whipped cream. It was spooky. I went home and went to bed. I figured Gloria did the same. I mean, it was logical. It was night. I woke up the next morning on a ship at sea. Where am I?
You're on a ship at sea.
How did I get here?
You were dragged by our secret police in your sleep.
Your secret police in my sleep?
I assure you, we mean you no harm, but we weren't sure you would cooperate with us.
Who are you?
I am Olga Ivanovich.
Ivanovich? Isn't that the name of that Russian conductor?
He is my father.
Is he here?
This is his boat.
What do you want with me?
Wait, here comes my father now. I'll let him explain.
Ah, Mr. Vamp, you are awake. I hope you are not too uncomfortable.
Like all private detectives, I'm tough if I have to be, and sometimes I do.
You are probably wondering why I had you brought here.
Why did you have me brought here?
I knew you would probably be wondering that, so I will tell you.
It better be good, Vladimir.
Please, Mr. Vamp, my father is not a man of violence.
That's not what my headache tells me.
Would you like an aspirin?
Yeah.
Here you are. And a glass of water.
Thanks.
Excuse me, but don't you want me to tell you why I had you brought here?
Of course I do.
Well, it all started when I was a little boy in Yugoslavia.
I knew he was going to tell me why he'd brought me to his boat, but I was losing interest fast. My head felt like there was a bugler inside playing reveille on an elephant. I was out of my mind with fever. Those drums, those infernal drums, wouldn't they ever stop? The aspirin. It had to be the aspirin. I had to know what was in those aspirin.
Olga, please, what did you put in those aspirin?
Aspirin?
The aspirin you just gave me, what was in them?
Nothing, Mr. Vamp. Just aspirin.
Don't lie to me, sweetheart. I know when my number's up.
No, really. Look. St. Joseph's.
It was a clever ruse. I wasn't up against any amateurs. St. Joseph's was the code name for a string of fences in Beirut. I figured now was the time to play dumb.
Mr. Vamp, aren't you the least bit curious as to why I had you dragged from your bed in the middle of the night and brought to my boat?
Sure. Why not?
Good. As you know, I am a world-famous conductor.
Yeah, I knew that.
Well, last night I was giving a concert at the local concert hall.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
I was there.
You were there?
Yeah, I was there. Funny you didn't notice me.
Where were you sitting?
In the center row.
Oh, yes, the man with the popcorn.
Okay, I buy your story. It was you at the concert last night. Only the real Ivanovich could know about the popcorn.
You're a skeptical man, Mr. Vamp.
Like all private detectives, I'm skeptical if I have to be in. Sometimes I do.
Yes. So, anyway, I am giving this concert last night at the local concert hall when something strange happened.
I had a feeling something strange happened. So did my secretary.
Your secretary?
Miss Excelsis. It was her popcorn.
How much does she know?
You can trust Gloria. She's a good kid.
This could be dangerous.
What could be dangerous?
Everything I tell you must be held in the strictest confidence, Mr. Vamp.
I'll see what I can do.
In order to avoid an international incident.
Will you get on with it, maestro?
I understand you were at my concert last night.
I was.
Then you heard the Beethoven.
Who?
The Beethoven. Da-da-da-da!
Oh, yeah. But you never got past the seventh da.
Ah, you noticed that.
I am a detective.
Well, that's it.
What's it?
That's why I had you brought to my boat.
Oh, that. I don't understand.
I want you to find that eighth da.
You want me to what?
The eighth da. I want you to find it. Without that da, I cannot play Beethoven's fifth.
You have to play that particular piece?
Yes, if I don't, it will become a humiliation for my country and maybe cause some sort of retaliation.
But I don't understand. How could you lose a da?
I don't know, Mr. Vamp. That's why I had you brought here.
Why me?
You have a reputation for discretion, Mr. Vamp.
Like any private detective, I'm discreet if I have to be, and sometimes...
This is one of those times. Neither of our government suspects anything yet, but I have another concert tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night?
I shall have to play the Beethoven.
That doesn't give me much time.
21 hours.
21 hours?
That's all?
That doesn't give me much time. The Russian had given me 21 hours. That didn't give me much time. Already I could feel the blood in my veins fizzing around like the rapids on the Washitaki River in mid-July. I was a human Alka-Seltzer. I left Vladimir's boat and headed back to my office. When I got there, Gloria was mumbling. You'll have to speak up, sweetheart. I can't understand you. What's the matter, kid? You sound like you got a mouthful of handkerchiefs. That didn't sound like Gloria. I wheeled around. Just as I suspected, she had a mouthful of handkerchiefs.
Gloria, what happened?
Oh, yeah, I removed the gag. Gloria, what happened?
Look out, Pogo, behind you!
I warned you, Mr. Vamp.
It's you.
Yes, Mr. Vamp. It's me.
Mr. Wu.
How good of you to remember after all these years, Mr. Vamp.
We had lunch together just last week.
No, I mean before that.
What do you want, Wu?
I don't want anything, Pogo. I'm a man of modest desires.
Then what are you doing here, and why did you tie up Gloria?
I warned you what would happen if you didn't do what I said.
What are you talking about?
You know what I'm talking about, Mr. Vamp.
Pogo, what is he talking about?
I don't know what he's talking about.
Oh, come now, Mr. Vamp. We're all adults here.
I still didn't know what he was talking about, but I was beginning to suspect that he did. He was holding a .38 caliber pistol in his left hand and aiming it right at me and Gloria. I had to think fast. My mind was like a tiny Indianapolis 500. The thoughts I was having raced around the track at a screaming 230 miles an hour. A stylish, upper-class broad with sad eyes and a look of too many empty mornings waved at me from the stands, but I didn't have time to wave back. I was thinking fast.
Well, Mr. Vamp, what do you think?
I don't know what you're talking about, Wu.
In that case, I'll have to kill you, Mr. Vamp.
You wouldn't dare. Gloria here is a witness. You'd never get away with it.
I guess you're right. Ooh, that makes me so mad!
All right, Wu, who are you working for?
You really want to know, Poco?
Come on, Wu, spill it.
You've heard of the Fat Man?
The Fat Man?
The Fat Man?
The Fat Man! You've heard of him?
No, I don't believe so.
That's understandable. Not many people have.
What about the Fat Man, Wu?
The Fat Man wants to see you, Mr. Vamp.
Take me to him.
You don't understand. He wants to see you dead.
You never were a very good shot, Wu. All right, Wu. We're going to see this fat man, and we're going to see him now.
All right, Poco. But you'll be sorry.
I untied Gloria and told her to get in touch with Vladimir. Gloria, get in touch with Vladimir.
What shall I tell him?
Tell him I'm going to see the fat man. He'll understand.
You're sure he'll understand?
He'll understand.
I hate it when they don't understand.
Who's Vladimir?
Never mind, Wu. Let's travel. Wu drove me to a deserted Orange Julius stand just off the freeway.
Here we are, Mr. Vamp.
This is nothing but a deserted Orange Julius stand.
It's a clever cover, Mr. Vamp. The fat man's real name is Julius Orange.
This guy must be pretty smart.
Shall we go inside, Mr. Vamp?
Sure, Wu. Lead the way.
Come in, Mr. Vamp.
You ought to do something about that door, Wu.
This way.
As Wu switched on a wearing blender, a secret panel slid open under the service counter. What was that blood-curdling laughter?
That was the Fat Man.
The Fat Man?
The Fat Man, Mr. Vamp. Won't you come in?
I've heard a lot about you, Fat Man.
Nothing good, I hope.
I understand you're nice to animals.
I like your sense of humor, Mr. Vamp. Sit down.
Thanks.
Mr. Wu, mix us both an Orange Julius.
Make mine with egg.
With egg. That's very good. I see you're a man of culture, Mr. Vamp.
That's what I wanted to speak to you about, Fat Man. Culture.
Really, Mr. Vamp, I'd be glad to answer any questions you might have.
You've heard of Vladimir Ivanovich?
A second-rate Russian conductor.
Only the conductor of the Petrograd Pops.
Your Orange Julius, Mr. Vamp.
Thanks.
Delightful, Mr. Vamp, don't you think?
It was a good egg. Now, about Vladimir.
A phony. An insect of a man with as much musical acumen as a dental hygienist.
I take it you don't like the man.
I despise him, Mr. Vamp. He has no right to being a famous conductor while I remain an unknown.
You're a conductor yourself, are you, Fat Man?
Yes. Yes, I am. I am perhaps the greatest conductor of all time, but they misunderstand my work. Their puny minds are bogged down with a lack of imagination. They are insensitive to my genius. But I'll show them. I'll show them. and soon.
How do you propose to do that, fat man?
I see what you're trying to do, Mr. Vamp. You think you can trick me into revealing that it was I who stole the eighth stop from Beethoven's fifth last evening. But it won't work.
I thought I detected something in the tone of the fat man's voice that gave him away. I drew my gun. Okay, fat man, the jig is up. You and Wu over against that wall.
You'll never get out of here alive, Mr. Vamp.
We'll see about that, fat man.
There's a gun aimed at the back of your head.
Knock it off, fat man.
I'm afraid he's telling the truth, Poco.
Olga!
That's right, Poco. Drop your gun.
But why, Olga?
Power, Poco. That's why we're all in it. Mr. Wu's power comes from the money I pay him. The fat man's from revenge.
And you, Olga, where does your power come from?
An AC outlet. 3 times daily.
You don't mean...
That's right, Mr. Vamp. She's only a robot. One of many I shall use to steal the key chords from all the major symphonies in the world.
Then you did steal the eighth da.
You're a sharp, Mr. Vamp. Very clever of you to discover that particular piece of information. But it's only the beginning. When I'm finished, that da will seem merely negligible.
But why, fat man?
I told you before that I was a great conductor, Mr. Vamp.
Yeah, I remember.
And that I was never recognized by my colleagues.
Yeah, go on.
Well, this is my revenge. When I had the sole possession of all the key chords of all the major symphonies, no one but myself would be able to hold a successful concert. And I, Julius Orange, whom they have laughed at, would be the greatest maestro of all time.
You'll never get away with it, fat man.
No, but I will. Last night's theft was simple, a portent of things to come. Mr. Wu, bring in the projector.
What's that?
My own invention, Mr. Vamp. An elaboration on a tape recorder. The difference being that once something is recorded, this is the only place in the world where it can be played back again.
Then this is the machine that stole the eighth da.
Correct, Mr. Vamp. And now I'm going to record you. Switch on the machine, Mr. Wu.
Goodbye, Mr. Vamp. I told you you would be sorry.
You're insane, fat man. I figured that was it. I could feel the life zapping out of me like a million tiny scrub brushes leaping off into the barren strait. I tried to think good thoughts, but my mind kept returning to a night in Tijuana back when I was in the Navy. Then Olga, or at least a robot I had come to know as Olga, lunged forward between me and the fat man's machine.
Olga, what are you doing? Get away from there!
I can't help myself. I can't let you go on with your evil plan.
But you're only a robot. I built you from the ground up.
I know, Julius, and I'll always be grateful. But somehow I feel there's a higher authority, even for me. Ever since last night, a word, a thought, has been glumming up my electronic synapses.
What word, Olga? Where did I go wrong? What was the word?
Westinghouse.
I should have known! I should never have given you the face of Betty Furness!
Somehow I escaped from the explosion unharmed. I don't know how. The last thing I remember was Olga pushing me to the floor. Poor kid. Even if she was a robot, she had a heart of aluminum-plated cadmium with crystal transistors. As I emerged from the wreckage of the defunct Orange Julius stand, I was met by Gloria and Vladimir. What took you so long?
Tell Mr. Ivanovich you were going to see the fat man. You said he'd understand.
Yeah.
He didn't understand.
He didn't understand?
Nah.
I am sorry, Mr. Vamp.
That's all right, Vladimir. It's all over now. I got your eighth da, and the fat man is gone forever.
I will always be in your debt, Mr. Vamp.
It's okay, Vladimir.
By the way, have you seen my daughter, Olga?
I was hoping you wouldn't ask that question, Ivanovich.
You mean...
Yeah. Olga's dead.
You are sure?
You can be sure if it's Westinghouse. I'm sorry. She was a good kid.
Yes, except for that extension cord. She was a model daughter.
So that was it. Another case closed. I could breathe a sigh of relief. It was like taking an aardvark off my back after trying to swim the English Channel. I filed the whole thing away like I always do, so I won't have to keep it on my mind. But there's one thing I'll always remember. One thing that stays with me like cream cheese in a vice. That's Olga's face. She was so young, so beautiful, so much like Betty Furness. It's hard to believe she was only a robot. And now all I have left is her extension. I know, I should have told Vladimir, but I felt he'd suffered enough. It's better this way. Better that Olga's extension simply remain the lost cord.
Get a real attachment for. But I don't think we could go together for too long. With a cord as long as hers, it could be a real drag. Lost Cord was written by Eric Baldwin and directed by Roger Rittner. Featured in the cast were Michael Collins, Sandra Snow, Leonard Sloan, Michael Vernon, and William Irwin. Also heard were Celia Strassner and Bob Farley. Sound effects by David Surtees. Production assistance by Catherine Arms and Bonner Newman. Engineering by Gil Jones. Midnight is a Roger Rittner radio production. Now, until we meet again, this is your host, Graves, reminding you that wherever you are, it may not be midnight now, but it soon will be.